Chat with Traders, Episode 18.
The biggest secret of the best traders in the world is that they're just like everyone else. However, they've worked hard to learn the markets and discover what works and what doesn't. But how can you hear about these journeys and get in on the strategies and tactics they use? You can do it by listening to Chat with Traders. Here's your host, Aaron Fifield.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Chat with Traders. This is episode 18. This week's guest is a little different to many of the guests I've had on in the past. Instead of giving very little weight to fundamentals and news releases, these two things actually form the foundation for his trading approach. In fact, he almost disregards charts altogether, and he relates the reason for this to his background in accounting and finance. John Welsh has been a full-time trader for over 10 years, and he's racked up millions of dollars in profits along the way. His trading consists of both intraday and swing trading, and he concentrates mainly on biotech stocks, making roughly 90% of his trades within this sector. But now that I've given you the 1,000-foot view on John's trading journey, here he is to fill in the blanks and give us a lot more depth around his approach. Hey John, how you going?
Not too bad. How's your weekend going?
It's good, man. It's good. It's early Monday morning here, and it looks like a busy week ahead. How's your weekend been?
Excellent. Did a nice little race today, half marathon, my best time ever. Things are going well. I can't wait for trading, though, tomorrow.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So I'm keen to have you on the show, and I'm excited to have you here. So, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no problem. So let's just get this underway and tell us a little bit about how you started trading. How'd you get into it? What was your background? Just give us a bit of an introduction.
Sure. I didn't really like stocks until the market exploded during my college years in the late 1998-99 period. That was when the dot-com bubble took off, and you couldn't lose any money. And anything when stock splits were going up, and I took a lot of risk of investing my MBA checks in the market while I was going to school, and I instantly got hooked because I was making money all the time, and ever since then I just been beat first into the market, and I've been trading full time now for almost 9 years.
Good stuff. So when you first started getting into trading, where were you like learning from? So how'd you know what you were doing?
Well, I'm old school and I'm like 40. So, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, and there was Yahoo message boards, which I still use today. And I had to learn through my own experience and my accounting and finance background. And I learned a lot about companies, what moves stocks, what people pay for in news and pay up in speculation, and all through my own experience. I don't have any trading tools or level two or charts or anything like that. I just do it all from what I see on the screen.
Okay, great. So when you were sort of studying and trying to sort of learn and find your feet in the markets, did you have sort of like a regular routine where you were sort of like you would spend a certain amount of hours a day focusing on trading, or like did you have some sort of schedule around that?
Well, when I was trading part-time and working full-time, it was really hard. And that's what a lot of people in today's markets are trying to do. You have a lot of young traders coming on board trying to, make the quick buck by working full time, and it doesn't really work that way. So basically, for me, when I was trading part time, I traded a lot in the morning and did research at night. But for the past 10 years, I have the same process that I do every day as a full time trader. And that is I wake up at 7 o'clock. I kick up my news wire that I use, which is currently tradethenews.com, and I look for news that are moving stocks that has potential to move during the day or for swing trades, anything that I think that's important. And I have the same pattern from 7 to 8 a.m. to in the pre-market and during regular trading hours, and I never trade in after hours. So basically every day I work from 7 to 4:30.
Okay, good stuff. So let's just talk a little bit more about when you were sort of getting into the market. So what were some of the main things that you struggled with early on, would you say?
I didn't really struggle because in 1999 and 98 is when the markets were going up huge, and I didn't know anything about short selling at the time. So my best stock was AOL, and I had a lot of success in the beginning, and that's what hooked me. And even when the market corrected, when I learned about short selling in the following 2000-2001, I learned how to go the other way. So you can just say my timing was right, but I have, you know, a lot of tendencies that I think are bad that I've learned within myself that I corrected, and was probably affects a lot of traders, such as, you know, over trading and, you know, trading trying to make up after a big loss.
Okay, cool. So how do you sort of avoid that type of thing from over trading? Like, do you have sort of some sort of rules you've set for yourself, or how do you go about sort of trying to avoid over trading?
Well, the two main factors that I see with myself that probably affects a lot of traders is, of course, the overtrading. And I have 10 rules that I developed over almost 10 years ago since I started trading part-time that I have taped on my computer and on my desk. And whenever I get new furniture or a new desk or a new monitor, I tape it right up there to remind me that each day is independent of each other. And I learned that through my own experiences, my own shortcomings. Because truthfully, I mean, all traders are fucking gamblers. That's what we really are. And that's my shortcoming, that if I ever was addicted to anything, it would be gambling. So in order to rein that in, what I developed is rules that I follow every day, because when I didn't have them, where my shortcomings was, is when I did a trade for an unexpected loss, I would then follow it up with a bigger forced loss trying to make back the money. And that's typical of what a gambler does, and from my observation, and that's what I am. So I try to take those feelings out of trading by following my systems, techniques, and rules.
Okay, yeah, and I saw those rules on your site, and I noticed that number 4 was bolded, as though like it really is quite important to you. And that was the more stubborn you are, the more you will lose. So would you like to elaborate on why this one is especially important to you?
Because I learned that one the hard way, and, you know, I love talking about, again, my shortcomings, because what I've learned from losing is a system that you know, I can turn into consistent, profitable trades. And with that one is that I used to trade biotech stocks into events. And this was before I became a full-time trader. And, you know, if a stock is trending down and there is an event coming, especially with biotechs, technically the stock is going to do bad because someone may know something, and it doesn't matter how much homework you do, the market is always right. So what I've learned in rule number 4 is don't be stubborn and listen to the market is when something goes wrong for me, I immediately sell it. And of course, if you hold overnight and there's bad news and something happens, I still immediately sell the stock. And people don't understand that, and they try to break even on the stock. Well, I save a lot of money by taking my losses quickly, whether I'm wrong on the day or whether it's gapping down on news. You got to listen to the market and get out. And that's what good traders do. They save money by taking their losses quickly.
Yeah, I think those are some really great points you touched on there. So, yeah, really cool. Nowadays, how would you define your sort of trading style? So just tell us a little bit about how you're actually trading sort of right now in today's markets.
You know, it's interesting because it depends. In today's markets, I'm more of a long short trader. And I need to explain why that is, because, you know, for, I would say, the past 5 years, I've been mainly known as a short seller. And I'm pretty keen on, you know, spotting stocks that look like potential red flags or frauds in accounting, and especially biotech. And I have a nose for this stuff. But the thing is, what I've noticed, and if you take last year, I attended a conference that I spoke at, and it was mainly the speakers were short sellers. And there was about, you know, 7 to 8 speakers that were short sellers. And I just found it very strange to me that all these people are migrating over to the style that I used to primarily be known for. So what I've been doing in the past 2 years is learning a strategy that's completely different from what I'm known for. People don't understand why, because everybody's making the big dollar short selling. I still do that, but guess what? I think a lot of changes are coming to the short selling industry that people do not expect. And when it occurs, their business could go poof because they did not learn how to do both sides of the trade. So I do long and short, and still I'm slanted 60% short, but I have no problem going long in today's market environment with going, with hitting market highs almost every day.
Okay, cool. So you're predominantly day trading, is that right?
I day trade, and I also swing trade, mostly swing trade, long positions, and I would only swing trade short positions when I'm up for the day, and I carry some over for a couple of days, because I don't like to swing trade shorts as much as I do longs.
Okay, and is that swing trading, is that something that's come through from when you were sort of learning trading when you were still sort of had a, when you're still a part-time trader, is that something that's come through from there?
I wish, but no. Because, okay, you know, 2008, 2009, and 2010, I was so short biased and cleaned up on the market. It was, you know, like taking candy from a baby, and that's, you know, I refined my skills, and I became so, you know, biased to shorting that, you know, I did it for, I would say between 2010 and 2012, I was still looking for shorts. And then I said, wait a second, we're in the middle of a turnaround here. I need to learn new techniques to go long and to go long on companies that I'm skeptical of. And I've really picked up my game in the last few years by doing that.
Okay, cool. So when you are taking a swing position, how long would you say you typically hold that for?
Could be as high. I usually never hold for more than 3 to 6 months. I like to keep it for a couple of weeks if I could. I mean, I've never held a stock for longer than a year. So I would definitely say it's short-term oriented.
When you're in those positions, how do you sort of manage those? Like, what's your sort of trigger to get out of those? Is it based on the news and fundamentals, or are you just sort of trailing stops? How do you manage those trades?
I always enter with a max loss in mind, and my position size is always reflecting in it. So I'll talk about a trade this year that I got killed on, and it was my worst trade of the year. Was a KBIO, which is a biotech that I thought would be a great rebound play for January, because January 2015, because in 2014 it was the worst performing biotechs, and it got halted for data, which was supposed to come out later in the month, and I took a nice 5-digit loss on the trade, and I ended up selling it for like 80 cents or something, and it went down to 40 cents. So, you know, on something like that, I can't manage my loss expectations, but I can sell it quickly to save money. So when something goes wrong and I don't like what's going on with the company, I immediately sell it.
Okay, good point. So you do factor in quite a lot the news and the fundamentals into your trades. That's something you take on board?
That is my entire trading style, is news and fundamentals, because that's how I learned how to trade. And people laugh and say, well, why don't you learn technicals? I just do not like charts. It's not for me. I definitely think with an accounting and finance background, that's much stronger than looking at lines or pictures on a wall that's going in triangles. I don't know. But I also don't use level two. So I am a pure tape reader.
Okay, that's really cool. So you don't even use technicals for sort of like timing your entries or anything like that?
Nope. If anything, I'll pull up a five-day chart. If I had to use a chart, it's a five-day chart because 90% of my trades are less than 5 days. So if anything, I'd pull up a five-day chart, but mostly I keep points in my mind and memorize when stocks hit certain levels. Say, for example, for my big short that I'm doing in May, which is CRMD, which is a biotech, I know that the high for the year is 1040 without even looking at the chart. I mean, I have a keen mind for memorization, and I train my mind for certain things to look for and filter out the noise. So if I'm shorting this stock for next month and it broke over that level, I would instantly be out of it. So that's how I try to control my thinking.
Okay, and where are you pulling that level from? Is that a certain like resistance level?
That's just a 52-week high of where it hit in April. Okay. I believe the shares closed at 860-ish on Friday. And that level, I don't need to look at a chart. I know from watching it, and this is one of the stocks that I heavily watch for last month, that 1040 is a 52-week high. In fact, I should probably check it, but I'm pretty sure that is.
So you've mentioned biotech sort of a few times throughout the interview. Is that sort of a sector that you really like to specialize in? And is that sort of the way you like to trade, by specializing in certain sectors and then sort of ignoring the rest that are out there?
Yeah, I love to concentrate on the biotech sector. Probably about 80 to 90% of my trades, because it's pretty simple. The biotechs can be valued at whatever they want to be valued because they're trading at potential future dollar amounts of income that may never come from FDA sponsored trials. So there's so much room for wiggle room. And plus, there's so many shady garbage CEOs in the business that it's just too easy to short these things and pick them off. And it's also what I've learned in the past few years. It's a good way to go long biotechs that you think that are shady and corrupt because they want to pump their stock price up. So it's been a great learning experience in biotech, and I love focusing on them because I love beta and volatility, but I also like to manage my risk. So that's why I seem to repeat it, but whenever a stock goes against me, especially in a day trade, more importantly, if the news isn't what I think it should be, I sell immediately because I can always buy it back. People need to understand you do not need to break even on a trade. You could sell for a loss.
Okay. And so if you're relying on the news so heavily, is there certain news topics that... Like, how do you determine what news is going to impact the market and what's just sort of not going to impact the market, I guess you could say?
It's hard to determine that, but mainly what I do is, usually my news service spits out the headline. I immediately go to the press release, and I'll start digging through the details of what they're saying, because a lot of times the headline looks a lot better than what the detail is. And if I think I have something in the detail that the market doesn't know, I'll take a big position size in it and let the market know what it is. I have a large Twitter following. So if I find something that I think that the market doesn't know, I put it out there. So yes, I react to news basically as quick as I possibly can and do research on it.
Okay. And are there certain sources that are probably more reliable than others?
I love the Yahoo message boards. I know I seem like a broken record, but I'm old school. And I still think they have a lot of value. Twitter is a good source for information. I don't particularly like to interact with many people on Twitter because it can distract you. But for, you know, quality people and followers, I mean, you can get good information from Twitter, instant information from Twitter that analyze news just as fast as me. So, and it's free too if you follow the right people.
Yeah, awesome. Great tips there. So let's move this along a little bit and let's start talking a little bit about the mental aspect of trading, because we were talking a little bit off air and, you know, this was one of the topics we were going to bring up because I think you've got a lot of good tips to share on it. So what's the best way you find to keep your emotions in check during the trading day and even outside of hours too? Like, let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, the thing is, you know, being at it for as long as I have been, I would definitely say that what I've learned is never to overreact to a gain or a loss. And people don't really understand that. But, you know, if you have a gain, you can't be jumping up and down, yelling, fucking booyah, you know, something exploded, you know, take a look at me. It doesn't work. And that's what everybody does in today's environment. That's definitely not my style. What I like to do is point out and yell about my losses, because from those losses, I then get to quietly start accumulating my gains. So, I mean, so mentally, I do not react to a loss or a gain in any way, shape, or form. I completely strip it out. Stock symbols, I don't fall in love with any stock. Simply put, if something's going against me, I sell it. And if something is winning, I move my stop to entry and I let it go. That's it. I mean, it sounds easy, but you would be surprised how many people cannot follow those two steps.
Yeah, that's really cool. So this is something else I wanted to ask you about also, and that's like, when trading, how do you keep a healthy balance between being confident without being over cocky?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and this ties in directly to, you know, the mental aspect of trading, which never gets enough attention in my eyes, which to me, the mental aspect of trading is 90% of trading. And let me explain. Like, I know a lot of successful traders out there, a lot of traders that have made millions of dollars in the stock market. But let me tell you, they do not make a trade unless they check in with my opinion first. And that may seem like a bold statement, but people need to understand that no one knows anything. And people in general are insecure, and they always want a confirmation and support from groups. And that's how the mental aspect of these stocks, of stock trading works, is when... And that's why my style works, is it's contra to the market. So people always try to travel in packs. They're insecure. They need confirmation from other traders. But that's not the style that I do. I know that. I know I like to trade against that type of style, that emotion.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So this is something we were also talking about a little bit off air, and that's traders talking about other traders. So I think you've got some sort of thoughts to share on that statement there.
I do, and what I think is I left the corporate world 10 years ago, and I don't regret it for one second. I hated everything about the corporate world. And what I've noticed is, especially after the past few years, is that, you know, I use Twitter, not a lot, but, you know, I've used it for the past 5 years. And what I noticed is that Twitter traders love to talk about what everybody else is doing, whether they're in a position, whether they're out of position, how much money they're making, what they're saying. It's like it's literally like working at a corporation and hearing the chitter chatter about your coworkers. I mean, I think it's completely bullshit, because if you're concentrating on somebody else and what they're doing, you're never going to make any money. Why does one other person's profit and loss statement makes effect on yours, it makes no sense to me. And why someone would hate on somebody else and troll on somebody else when they make a trade or say something, who cares? I mean, I know this is a business and people sell things on Twitter, but the bickering, I can't take it. Like, I had to cut a lot of traders out of my life because all they do is talk about other traders. I mean, I think it's lame.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So moving along, what do you believe is the main reason why such a large majority of traders never succeed in this game?
Because it all goes back to the mental aspect. People do not understand that people's flaws in life about being insecure or about not being humble and needing confirmation from other people and needing support, people do not understand that applies to trading. And all because the group is thinking one way, that doesn't mean the group is right. So mentally, what happens is that when say a group trade goes wrong and someone loses money, especially a new trader, they always try to then chase the money back and make the money back. It doesn't work that way. So that's why a lot of traders fail, because they're getting confirmation from other people. They're not doing the research themselves and the homework themselves. I mean, the most profitable product on Twitter is alert services. And what that tells you everything you need to know about where trading is going for the next few years. It's been like this for 2 to 3 years now, where people just want to know what to buy, no questions asked. And those people are truthfully not making any money. There's only a few people that are making money, even in today's market, because they're over trading, they're not doing the research themselves. And, you know, if you want to learn how to fish, I mean, someone needs to teach you how to fish. And in order to do that, you need to do research and homework on why somebody is buying and not just do it and follow someone blindly because they made a good call two months ago. So that's why I think a majority of people fail, because they're too busy in that groupthink and the mental aspect of trading.
Yeah, I think those are some really good points you brought up there. So, yeah, thanks for sharing those. Now, let's just sort of start to wrap this interview up. So we'll just sort of go to the closing bell, and this is just a few questions that I asked to a majority of the guests. Is there any recommended reading that you would suggest to someone? Perhaps something around the topic of psychology.
I haven't read many trading books myself. I don't know of any good books out there currently. There probably is some good stuff on trading psychology now, but I'm not up to date on the reading of it. I try on my Twitter to put out as many articles as I can about trading psychology, because, you know, I love the world of finance, so I'm always trying to do something free and give back to the world of finance. So that's what I try to cover, but I guarantee you nowadays there's probably some good books out there, but I don't know of any.
Yeah, that's cool. So you've learned most of it from just sort of being in the trenches, right?
That's correct.
Good stuff. So when it all comes down to it, what would you say motivates you to trade after sort of 10 years in the game? Is it the money that you can make from trading? Is it the lifestyle it provides? Is it the freedom? Like, what would you put it down to?
Well, the money's nice. I mean, the money's great. And, you know, obviously we all want to make money. That's why we're in the business for this, why we're in this business. But, I mean, you cannot put a price tag on your freedom from the corporation in a cubicle and having to work for other people that you do not like, other coworkers that you do not respect. The independence is just such a massive key. I mean, that's all everyone who always reaches out to me for trading advice, they're like, they want to be independent. They want to be free from a corporation. I mean, trading is awesome. I mean, there's days where, you know, especially after tough losses where, you know, trading sucks. But I don't let myself get too down on those days. I try, once again, to keep the steady emotion. I love getting up. It's weird. Like, my family friends and, my son's friends in the neighborhood, they don't know what I do for work. they don't know that I'm a stock trader. A lot of them, I think I'm homeless because I never talk about what I do. Because when it comes for trading, that's just something that I like to do. I even use a phony name as a trader because back then I never really wanted to brag about how much money I made. It's something, if you're independent and you're tired of the corporate world and you do the research and tools, I recommend that trading is for you. I mean, everybody wants to do it, but no one wants to put in the correct time. Well, a lot of people don't want to put in the correct time, I should say that.
Yeah, so important, so important. So in there you talked about days that just really suck. So say you have a really bad day one day. How do you treat the next day? Do you just come back to it with a treat it as a fresh slate? Or is there ever a point where you decide not to trade for a day?
Yep. What I've learned is due to my degenerate gambler tendencies is that when I have a bad trade, like a five-figure loss in the morning, I shut off my computer and I don't trade anymore. Because the reason why is what I try to do is make trades, or I used to do the old Welsh 5 to 10 years ago when he was first starting out full-time in this game. I would try to make that money back as quickly as possible. And stats show me, because I keep a personal journal of all my trades, and I analyze them. And what that showed me is that whenever I tried to make my money back quickly, I would lose it. I lose more. So the most profitable thing that I can do when I have a losing trade, especially an unexpected one, is turn off the computer, and I honor that. I turn it off, and then I come back the next day like nothing happened. And even that day when I lose money, my wife can't tell whether I make or lose money. Because one, when I'm making money, I sure as hell don't want to tell her because she's going to be spending it. And when I'm losing money, I don't want to bring my family down. I like to keep my business separate from family because I trade in the same house. I don't like the mood to overcome the house.
That's great. That's excellent. So just one other thing that you touched on there, and that was documenting your trades. How do you actually journal those? Is it sort of a written notebook, or do you keep how do you go about that? Is there a file on your computer? How do you journal your trades?
I journal even to this day, I journal I have an Excel spreadsheet. And basically all it is, you know, I put down the day when I make the trade, you know, how much shares that I trade as percentage to my balance, and, you know, whether it's short or long, it's gain or loss. And I do this every day, either during the day or end of the day, I fill out the spreadsheet, regardless of whether I win or lose, and I put in the correct amounts. And I keep it as my personal, second pair of eyes. Because being a trader, you know, is really a lonely business. Like, I do have trader friends, but, you know, no one, when you're in a bad streak, you know, no one really likes to talk about it. Like, I like to talk about it a lot, but I know when I've lost friends over the last few years that just completely dropped out, probably because they were losing so much money, some trader friends. So I use that Excel spreadsheet as my accountability. Like if I'm doing things stupid, I want to see it on that Excel spreadsheet. I want to look at it. I want to see it every day when I do something wrong. And guess what? When I'm doing something right, I want to see it. I want to press harder and I want to go bigger in size and I want to make money. And that spreadsheet, I mean, it's sad to say, but I need it and I keep it and I've been doing it for so long. It's just second nature for me. So that's like my second pair of eyes.
That's really good. I mean, if you find something that works, you just keep doing it, right?
Right. I mean, I'd love to ditch it, but I'm afraid what would happen if I did?
I think it's more important to be making money. So if it's helping with that, stick with it, I say. So this has been awesome, John. Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday evening. Before we go, do you want to share with listeners where they can find out more about you and connect?
Yeah, just you can go on Twitter at John Welsh Trades. That's it. And some days I hop on, I give some trade ideas and some commentary. I try to do what I can and give back for free, whatever I can for finance. And you can see me there, and I'll try to tweet quality stuff whenever I can.
That link will be in the show note to John's Twitter page. Go along, follow him. And, yeah, thanks a lot, John. Let's keep in touch and we'll speak soon.
Aaron, thanks again for the opportunity. Have a good weekend, or in your case, have a good week.
No problem, man. Talk soon.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
You've come to the end of this episode of Chat with Traders, but don't worry, more great episodes are on the way. To stay updated with each great new episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and we'd love it if you leave us a rating and review. We'll see you next time on Chat with Traders.